Thank you. department fees as part of the plan launched by the president in relation to interventions in mining towns. We have been tasked with providing in seven municipalities intervention plans to support the president's commitment made at Nedland. And then Department of Science and Technology, that relationship is in relation to our green paper process, but also some of the research and technology which we've indicated, and part of that is as a result of you will remember the committee's oversight visit to the CSIR. We have undertaken that project for science and technology. The outcome 8 progress report. This is up to September 30. There is a report that we take into MINMEC, which covers the period 31 December. Chair, yesterday the DG called a technical MINMEC, and we are also quite concerned, particularly around the first bullet point there, and that is the number of households provided with upgraded services. That's 131,600. That represents 32% of the target. 33 to 1 target of the nearest. One of the issues here we've raised is that we've got a year to go, and that would mean covering 270,000 a year. And this will become clear, particularly as we go through some of the processes. So it's about prioritization, and the inability of provinces and municipalities to want to undertake those responsibilities. The net result is that some of those issues will be dealt with as part of our business plan process for this financial year. The third point, there is the well-located state land release to municipalities. Chair, we're on target for that, but we've asked the HDA to go back and look at whether or not those 7,477 is actually strategically well-located, because that's one of the issues. If we are to change the spatial landscape in terms of integration, then saying we've released 7,477 is not enough. We're saying it is well located, it is within the corridor that we speak about. Has it made the cities and the towns accessible to the poor, and does it give them an opportunity to find job creation? Okay, this is the from the model, and you'll remember that we presented this to you during the course of the last year and a half. But from our models, this is what our current employment created. So we run this model on a quarterly basis, and that's for the quarter what we have achieved. So direct is 2,408. Indirect, that's in relation to materials, manufacturing related to housing products, and then induced is, for example, some of the white goods. That's the, in addition to that, Chair, we do run sanitation job creation, and that's the summary per service provider. That's the category that we outlined in. And that's the figure that we've presented there. So that's for the quarter. This gives us just a brief summary of what we have done particularly, and as you know, one of the focus areas has been the facilitation of registration of youth, as well as the NHGRC together with the SMME, so the focus on that, as well as the relevant CETA. Okay, this just gives you a brief, and I'll assume that members have gone through this part. It's also part of the support is that one of the important points is as we we undertake this process is the first bullet point in our slide 11 is the 13 support plans for the previously supported municipalities that are there. Chair, of point to note is just the sanitation challenges, and again, as we alluded, as part of our engagement with COPTA, is getting municipal support and buy-in. You'll know that one of the issues that faces this program is the fact that we're dealing with rural municipalities and the particular capacity and expertise and knowledge gaps are quite intense at those areas. Chair, this represents the completed toilet structures as at 31 October 2012, and we'll go through some of the challenges in relation to this and what we've undertaken. But this represents a picture as of 31 October. We are in the process of verifying these figures so that we can give you an updated, proper, consolidated figure for 31 December. This represents, Chair, the expenditure, and in relation to that, as of December, we have been sitting at out of the amount that was allocated and the adjusted amount is 340 million, we were sitting at 9% in relation to this. And we will cover some of those areas of in our financial report. Accreditation of municipalities. Chair, this one is going a lot better in relation to the total number of municipalities in relation to accreditation. 26 is on level 1 is 7, level 2 is 16, and level 2 with permission has been 3. Of importance and through the assistance of the portfolio committee, housing and local government has now concluded the implementation protocols as well as for the Western Cape. So there's two outstanding metros in relation to this is the Eastern Cape, so Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela. Are still outstanding in relation to that. Chair, I've illustrated this first bullet point there, the Eastern Cape and KZN. In the meantime, we know that KZN has moved a substantial there's been movement on this one, and the implementation protocol, as we said, is in the process of being signed, and that was what we were. The Social Housing Regulatory Authority. Chair, one of the constraints that the SHRA faced, particularly in relation to achieving some of its targets, was the question of funding. However, through the initiatives by the DG, there was money that was made available as a result of some of the savings and recovery plans. But again, it comes back to the prioritization by the municipalities and the provinces of the program for social and rental housing. This just gives you an indication of what we've achieved, and this will also form part of this trial performance report. Chair, of importance here is the fact that there's a substantial amount of effort being taken to improve the accreditation as well as the building up of the capacity in that. So you'll see that there's 19 social housing institutions that are either accredited, there's 5 that have been fully accredited, and there's 14 conditions. these are just some of the additional aspects. I think of importance here, Chair, is the third bullet point from the last, is that we've managed, and together with the department's NUST program, that the housing development agency is now assisting, particularly in two provinces, in Limpopo and Free State, on the informal settlement upgrading capacity assistance there. Nurture. Chair, one of the big issues here that we managed to resolve, particularly with the Nurture, is you'll see that amount of 20 million rand which we provided for contractor finance and development program. That program has the impact that it will improve the SMME, but also start with the process of improving and assisting the provinces and municipalities with capacity. Because one of the things that they keep on saying is that there is insufficient contractor finance, there is insufficient development programs for small developers. This is another measure which the department is and which under the auspices of the DG was fast-tracked, so we set aside 20 million, it's been given to Nurture, and that program is up and running in relation to that. And there are some measures which we're putting in place, particularly in relation to restructuring some of the debt of Nurture. The Rural Housing Loan Fund, Chair, I mean, this is one of the star performers of our entities, and I mean, if I could give an updated figure, as at 31 December, we had, through the Rural Housing Loan Fund, dispersed approximately 116,000 loans to rural households, and there's more detail available for that, which we'll provide and ask the Rural Housing Loan Fund in their annual presentation to make available to the portfolio. The NHBRC, Chair, this gives you just an impact or some of the issues around, and this slide gives us some indication of where we at, particularly home enrollment in relation to subsidized as well as funding. We must also indicate that the compliance by provinces is not optimal. Together with the NHBRC, we need to indicate that there has been some improvement in the NHBRC's oversight and monitoring role, and it's also an issue that we've spoken about, because we provided the funding, we've allocated the money, but between the provinces and the municipalities, there's still this issue around NHBRC registration. NHFC, NHFC, you'll see this gives you an oversight of it, but I think one of the things that one of the mitigating factors in relation to the NHFC is the fact that it is faced with the current downturn in the economy, but they are improving. So the fact that the important one there is a total of 3,494 units delivered in the third quarter against the target of 3,087, which means that things are picking up and that's particularly in relation to the affordable sector. The Estate Agency Affairs Board, Chair, I mean, we've made a presentation on this, and this just gives an update, particularly in relation to the Estate Agency Affairs Board. And this one here, Chair, gives you some indication, particularly the first three points, and we've asked, I think, through our COO, that we just need to indicate what the demographic breakdown is, so that we can understand what the transformational shift is in relation to particularly the estate agency's affairs.
internal auditors challenges, and we did indicate to the account before that we had challenges with the SIU, whereby they were not certain as to whether they could deal with the department. And the other issue was the fact that there was an issue of the proclamation, so it had to be extended. But along the line, as one of the mitigation or one of the remedial actions that we put, we had to, ever since, outline that and sort the issues out between ourselves and the SIU, and to serve a several agreements to that effect of time. And subsequently, we even solved the issue of them dealing with the department, because we delayed the issue of sending invoices to the department. And at that point in time, they could not spend, or they could not actually send invoices, so we could not pay. So the money and the value was still sitting in the chief and rotating the money. But as I said earlier on, that I will also speak to the mediation. We have received a number of invoices from the special investigation unit, and we have processed them, and I think there's an element of the 16 million that has been received in this period, and I want to believe that it is also being processed. So we are actually left with plus minus 3 invoices that, as they continue with the work, they will use the department correctly, and it will be effective on the system. But because of the fact that we had money put into this item, there were some savings that we identified, of which we had to use them within the other programs in the department. The other one, still within program one, is the issue of the property management. Chair, at some point we also indicated that we are experiencing problems with the landlord of the other building that we have to occupy as an additional building in the department, whereby between the landlord and the Department of Public Works, they could not agree on the terms and conditions of refurbishing the building that we are to occupy. That took a long time, and at this point in time, since it's been established that those issues have been resolved, because they also indicated that there were some challenges in the Public Works capacity. So we were running to and fro between the Department of Human Services and the Public Works to solve those issues. But they have since been resolved, Chapter 10, and we will be experiencing a difference in spending, particularly in the next financial year, because they are in the refurbishing. There has been some progress between the landlords and the Public Works. The landlords have since started operating and putting some refurbishment in the building. So there's an expectation that in not long until we will be moving, and in the next financial year, it means that we will be paying. So the amount that we had put aside as rent for that particular building, we could not use because we were not occupying the building. Otherwise, it would have been a process and waiting for expenditure for us to pay for the building that we did not occupy. As a result, and I was also indicated branch in that at some point we had some challenges with the AG on this particular matter, saying we would have a material and a payment because we did not pay. But at that point in time, they did not understand that we did not occupy the building. They did not know that we did not occupy the building. And they had thought that we were at default by not paying the Public Works. And Public Works was also expecting that they did not even explain to the auditors that we did not occupy the building. So essentially, we are saying in the middle of the 2013-14 financial year, we will be in the position of occupying the building. So the expectation is that the property rental for the next financial year will be paid to Public Works through the building, and we will not certainly be experiencing the problems that we experienced in this financial year. So as another problem on those were the big, and this is where the big budget rate was, or the budget of the two. What they try to do, so we identify the two as a risk. However, I need to under program two, that's mostly, and Chairperson, let me categorically indicate that generally, although we did indicate at the beginning of the financial year that the staff establishment will be improved, and we will actually fill the vacant post. We have since advertised. Program 2 and the rest of the program, just this is one point that cut across, even within program 1, that we had a slow pace of filling the vacancies, and I will read that because I know that one way or other meetings, but it's still undertaken by the chief directorate. So that function has been running, and I must say that if I refer members back to the other slide, program 2 at that point in time was one of the provinces that was paying better in contrast to other programs generally as a department. Now under program 3, we had another big challenge which was also resolved, and it is taking its toll now, is the issue of the NAC, the assistance to the one upgrading of informal settlement. We had a very big challenge on this one, Chairperson, and what we did, we had to advertise it in different categories, and they differ in terms of the amount, they differ in terms of the amount rather, just to put it categorically. But on this one, the challenge was that we could not appoint at the time that we wanted to appoint. However, in this financial year, in the January, we managed to appoint 4 contractors that would actually run with the municipality. A big evaluation has taken place last week, and it is running with the big team financial, and I think it is Thursday of tomorrow we shall be meeting as a big committee to appoint the contractors that will be assisting the municipality from there. But given the fact that we had some delays in terms of our internal processes as far as supply chain management is concerned, and the program itself, we are going to request a rollover to this program. We know very well that we cannot do very well at the point in time. But the expenditure will improve from the date of when we appointed the contractor to the end of March, during our crisis. But this program is also affected by the non-renewal. The other major one, which is of interest to everyone, is the Rural Housing Infrastructure Development Grant. We've been talking about this from the whole year, and we've actually put so many measures in place for this program to improve, to the point that we've appointed 6 additional from the service providers who have since signed the service level agreement, and they will be on site not long, and all of them have actually indicated that they will be in a position to finalize, in a position to deal with the number of toilets that have been allocated to the different. So there is a bit of a problem, although at that point in time, especially so, there was going to be. We have engaged with the 2 service providers who were appointed just before the 6th additional, including the program managers. And in this point, I'm talking about Bula Trust and IDT. Bula Trust, IDT had its own challenges as far as cash flow is concerned, which was affecting the program. Bula Trust has actually improved its performance to the point that so far it is the only service provider that has resulted in the expense of the rural housing infrastructure program in some municipalities. And the spending today has improved to another 4. But we would actually monitor that as we go, but we accept that it has been slow on this. But we know that it was also affected by the fact that 188 million was taken away by the national treasury. Another big one which is affected, and we always say that even at the cabinet quota, all the departments are challenged by the services that we are receiving from our speaker. But now, regardless of the fact that we have challenges, we also have to put some measures. Number one, is that we don't also give us on the time and on the terms and conditions of the service level agreement that we have signed with them. However, there are some services that they could not provide the department during the process. And we as a department, we had to come up with another business model that was taking its own time and a plan of action to remain in the situation we see that. There was an element of capacity and resources that CIDA could not provide to us, but we have been in engagement with them, and they have actually since then given us some additional resources. And as a department, we are appointing a director to this position for us to take the services of the department and engagement between CIDA and the department. We also have many interested that at that point in time the expenditure was not to be called, but the invoices that have been received from the CIDA since the finalization of the service development and the admin to the tank have actually been received and were actually processed. So I thought that these were the big ones that they would be of interest, and these were the ones that the people with the biggest budget, regardless of the fact that the personal compensation that is taken identified within the budget. So 8 million were taken away from the SIU. From the property management, the 10 million that was supposed to have been used as a lease payment was actually taken it away. So it means that we have actually made some shifts within the budget and some violence depending in terms of case and gain, whether it lies within the 8%. And then from the very same case now that we had, we've actually taken away money from the program implementation support, and we have actually put it under communication. But as we all know that we had some challenges with our communication, the budget was very minimal, and there were some marketing strategies that they had to put in place, and that money has been approved to be shifted, or rather, use the way via to let shift out of trade. And then under customer settlement planning, we were to use that money for the red book. That has been shifted to the new financial year because the current funding model has to change in the process. So it will be funded by the department as we move. Because at that point in time, the funding that we had was not enough to pay for the red book. So we had to shift it for the financial year within the paper and the timing. So the 2 million of the timing move to fund the intergovernmental organization to use budget and shift that to trade. So these are the savings that we as a department identified within the budget that was not spent, and we had to use them to other services that we needed budget the most. Having indicated that we had some challenges, and one of the challenges that we picked up as finance general in the department, but as we move, the director general will also talk to the other challenges that we as a sector are experiencing in general, and that will also include the issues from the strategic point of view and the problems. What we actually realize that our programs in the department are running very slow, and to a point that tenders start very late in the financial year, and this affects the issue of the spending. So if we are to proceed with tenders in March, it gives an impression that by June and May at the most, we shall actually have service on the ground. But if we start tendering and start advertising in November, we obviously run the risk of those not being able to take its toll of implementation by the end of the financial year. If not, start in the middle of February and March, overlapping to the next financial year. Now, the impression that has created is that the money that has been allocated to youth programs would not have been spent from the April to December. Instead, it will start in February. Then it will have to spend its money in 2 months. So we have actually picked it up. We have advertised, we have indicated to program managers that tenders need to be started as soon as possible. And the most possible date for us to run these committees is from February and March for the beginning of the financial year. And then we have undertaken the issues of freedom of banking calls. We also realized that we were slow on that one, but we've seen actually taking that to a program of action. And we have say there were certain level agreements that were used, but some of them needed to be updated. So we thought that as finance, we saw the leak and we saw a flaw. So there were some delays as far as the service level agreements are concerned. So we thought that there could be, although we could use standard, but the dynamics of the services that we employ as a department are not the same. But since made some communication between us and our leader to give this service level agreement an immediate attention as it affects the service level, because most of the suppliers are not speaking, and we agree. We even accepted to say that they should not start the process without an order, they should not start the service without a service level agreement. So that has been identified as one of the keys from the program and the supply chain and the finance as well. Now, in this process, we know for the fact that as we budget for the year, we find ourselves having to budget more than what we think we have. But then in the process, we realize that people do not need that budget. So we agree with the program managers that they need to identify savings on time and declare those savings so that we are able to use them in the process of other programs that need additional funding. Chair, that's from the operational point of view, and I did indicate that under Program 4, we realized that if being at 68% last time, it was this slide talk to all those countries that are affecting institutions outside as well as the ground? During this period, these are the 68% that I was talking about in general, of the amount that has been spent to human settlements broken down to provinces. Our urban settlements down to our metros at 60%, which is the normal by the end of June. And then we have our social regulator that spent this money in this 8 months by the end of December. And some of the institutions that have not actually had money by that time, they requested their last tranche by this period. And as we move, we realize that they have requested the funding. And lastly, I think just 2 days later, we just signed with the housing development agency, the 12% of the So between the social regulator as well as housing agency, that money will be transferred by the end of February. And I think at this point in time, it's already been transferred. But the HDA one has been signed 2 days ago, so it's in the system. The rest, the issues of the vessel schemes have been transferred, and then the issue of the human habitat, which we also had to transfer 100% part of it. Our rural housing development as a grant is still sitting at 15% as we see it, but this is what up until the 1st of December. And I think it's supposed to be 16.5 in general, because it's a 17% expenditure. And this was up until December transfer.
Okay. As you can see that along the line, I would indicate the status of the current transfer. And I managed to speak to this, except that the HDA. The HDA one has been signed. This is up until the 31st of January. However, and I want to clarify with this provisional, because at the time of us preparing this report, just to show the members that while we were at 60%, there's been an improvement up until the 31st of January. So we have transferred these funds. The only one that is left is the HDA, which was signed off 2 days ago, and I want to believe that as we move and in the system already, we'll also, that's a request that we will change to 100. So generally, that has moved from 64 to 74. And the rural housing infrastructure development has actually improved by plus minus 1.5%. And we are expecting invoices. We have received invoices that are indicated that the Rural Trust and IDKI are picking up their phones. So there will be some invoices that are being transferred. And as I speak, if I were to see the preliminary contractor one, the states are going to be different in the part of the written content. With the addition of the 6 members, we expect the spending, which we will monitor chairperson in a week, if not in a fortnight. We will communicate a different figure from the 80%, and we agree that it is a material understanding on that part. Okay, this is where I'm not so certain, and I tend to be guided, that between the human settlement development grant, the urban settlement development grant, and the recovery plan, as Chair had alluded earlier on to say, it was the minister's call for the recovery plan, if I'm allowed to talk in time, because it talks to each other. I tend to be guided. Otherwise, I could finish the presentation and get to the recovery plan. Okay, this is the status of the expenditure at the 1st December, and by this time, there was an expectation that the expenditure would improve to its maximum 75%. I'm sitting at the 66% of the spending by the 31st of December 2012. Now, I would actually say where I'm sitting. It's the fourth column from my left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the sixth column from my right, my left hand side, and then the fourth column from the right hand side. And yeah. So I'm actually basically talking to the lime green column.
Just give us the total at the top of the column.
It's 60 and 66. It's 60 is the case. It's spent as a percentage of the total available. That's after the blue one.
No, second thing I mean is the heading.
Spend as a percentage of total available. And I want us to focus on the spend as a percentage of total available. Because at this point in time, this is where we determine as to whether we shall be spending the 100% by the end of March, rather than us concentrating on the cash flow. The cash flow is a fact. But the fact that we compare what we have spent now against the allocation of 15.7, I agree with you, spend as a percentage of total available. Now, if we look at Eastern Cape downward to our Western Cape, and we take our biggest budget receiver, which is Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, as well as our Western Cape, the expectation out of this is that all the four provinces should have been at 75%. Notwithstanding the fact that the others are receiving a small budget, but the maximum cash flow is supposed to be 75%. Now, what we did in September, as we had also indicated that this September is the month where we do a final analysis to determine whether our spending will be achieved and our target will be achieved by the state. So we gave provinces a leeway and a period of 6 months to spend their allocation. Given the fact that the business plan had been approved, the business plan had kicked in on the 1st of April, the business plan would have actually taken its toll by that period, and they had planned properly from the beginning of the financial year, and they had approved some of the contractor, and the contractor on one side. So our expectation is that in the period, we would not be having any challenges as far as the supply chain management issues are concerned. However, as we move to digital, we'll talk to those challenges from a strategic point of view. We took a decision at that point in time, which is now overlapping to the issue of the recovery plan, whereby at that point in time, the spending was still sitting at 65%. And this is where we opened a call to all politicians, our minister and our MPs, through the director general. And then we intended to say that if we run at this pace, we will not be able to reach our target. And at that time, it was only about spending. It was not about spending, but it was also about how we should divide. As never has been stated, that the figure that you pointed out gave you as to whether we have housed our household enough at that point in time. But at that point in time, we were so worried to a point that through Chair and indicated the Minister's call, recovery plans had to be recovered from problems. All of them gave recovery plans, and in such a way that we set and analyzed those plans. We did not want to accept them as just a recovery plan. We went through all those recovery plans, province by province, with provinces indicating to us the substance of the rationale, the substance of any reasons that they would want to change, or they would think that the current plan of action would actually bring a maximum output at the end of the day. Those recovery plans were used as a source of a business plan moving forward. Essentially, they changed the business plan that was originally accepted and originally signed and originally published to even the carbon outside and the national treasure, and that covers the EMP. Now, those changes, with the recommendation that we had to make to MINMEC and endorsed by MINMEC, supported and recommended by technical MINMEC, they were put forward to all the entities presented at MINMEC of the 8th, and we deliberately, which had intentionally used the earliest day of November, just for provinces to have enough time to implement the recovery plan. Just so that at the end of the day, they did not come up with an excuse to say it was late for them to implement the recovery plan. So we gave them an opportunity of November, we gave them an opportunity of December, and in January this year, just as everybody came from the holiday, we did an analysis. We used the figures of the 16th of January 2016 to determine as to whether the recovery plan had actually taken its entire execution and has made the difference. So our surprise was that, and I want to indicate through the presence of the DG that we raised that alarm again, we had to mediate it through that. But having that most of contractors would send invoices in December for them to get a bigger amount and pay their bonus. So we gave them a window, an open window period, but that did not happen. And most of the firms agreed and consented to the fact that not all the invoices were processed in December, although they did not go on holiday, although they had asked for a special system through our JSSC and other financial systems. For them to put a process or to would have processed the expenditure by the effect of December 2020. And the result of payment that were expected in the system as at the first December came to 56% from the 55% that we had to come with to have a payment. Quite aware of Limpopo, and at that time we did indicate through different structures. Among the structures was the pipeline workshop that we held in 11 for 2 days, where we also indicated that provinces possibly at that time should declare savings just for us to be able to see and decide as to what we do with those savings. Whether we declare them back to national treasury or whether we use them to the advantage of Northwest at that point in time, because Jefferson at that point in time, it was only Northwest and our KZN that had spent, that had shown an improvement in the service in the budget. And the good part of the two provinces, as they indicated yesterday, after we had actually spoken about the alignment of the functions, the alignment of the figures presented, and the alignment of the houses on the ground, most of them, if not the two particular, had proven to say we are verifying and the figures that we have shown and the expenditure today tallies with what is on the ground. So at that point in time, having asked provinces to declare, we even said it in our meeting today, this is the opportunity for even the MECs to consent to the declaration of things, and then the national will take a decision in terms of the provision of revenue on what to do with the amount. All of them are adamant that they will spend. Chair will also recall that the very same telephone conference that we had, most people, all MECs had indicated that they would spend, the recovery plan that they had indicated, are in the process of improving the spending and are in the process of improving the economy. However, we had given them a 2 month trial period to ensure that the recovery plan takes its toll. As I indicated, the analysis that we made, and never I would ask you to move to the other side. And I think this is the figure that we are speaking to in terms of the recovery plan. If a person receives from farm, it's still the very same fourth column mem, spending as a percentage of the total available. We're sitting at 73%, and at this point in time, we're supposed to be sitting at 83%. So we've got a legged 10%. From all provinces across, except Northwest. Northwest is sitting at this high toll of 89%. Most of the provinces are sitting at their percentage. One would see that if there are invoices that are sitting within the provinces or in the province and they are still ready and they are rather ready to pay, there will be an expectation that the money will be spent. But if there are no invoices that are being received, there are no, there's nothing that is happening on the ground, it would mean that that amount would not be spent by the end of the period. In the process, Jefferson, we are saying the challenge with the spending at this point in time is the fact that at the end of January 2018, spending that was still transferred and not spent by the provinces was sitting at 1.2 billion. That's now the blue column from the total available. It's a variance of 1,262 million, 722 million. and with the challenges that we face, we listened to provinces having placed the situation of 73%, notwithstanding that KZN defends 79, 78 with Mpumalanga, 89 with our Northwest. The rest are sitting at, okay, with three states sitting at 77%. We are monitoring the situation to those provinces that have indicated a higher spending. That is reasonable. However, we indicated that we will monitor for us, and provinces will also have to indicate that the money that has been spent has been a value created on the ground. So our essential point here is that there should have been failure for money between them and the alignment of people. We did highlight the issue from the HSS that is not used to be optimal. That the figure that we found ourselves presenting to all the partners may actually amount to undercounting or underperforming. But if one visits, it's the fact that the non-utilization of HSS impacts on the delivery, performance, and recording. So we may find ourselves. Now I'm saying the HSS that is not used to be optimal by provinces, it limits us to record the correct figure. And we may find that what we are reporting is maybe under if we compare it to the expenditure that is reported. But I must also slowly indicate that the money that we used, the 12.6 million that has been transferred, 11.4 of it being spent, may not have been spent on the sites and services only. There are other milestones. The issues of geotech, the issue of healthcare, the NHLC, and the IDTs, and these are other variables that we had to separate them from the fact that money is spent on site and services as a result. Essentially, we did present this to the portfolio to say, within the 15 billion, you need to bear in mind that 3.1 billion of it only goes to other milestones. That may, or that originally contribute towards the development of the house. But you will recall that some of them are rectifications, the house has been counted in the past, but money is being used in the current financial year. Regardless of the state of the way we receive rectification and even the AGO on that point in time. But what we are trying to say is that we are accelerating some of the other milestones that contribute towards the grant. And the money for us to be able to align the 15.6 billion to the deliverables that have been set by provinces. Having indicated the issue of HSS, we are in the process, and there is a roadshow by our IT officials in the office, just to sort out the issue. We know that at some point, Mpumalanga was the only province that exists between the HSS. And I think through this, we actually wanted to sell out to other provinces that they must actually learn and benchmark against Mpumalanga for the utilization of HSS. And that was the only province at that point in time that was reporting correctly in as far as the figures are concerned. But how things have since improved. Chairperson, from yesterday's meeting, so many issues were raised, and the Director General and his leadership indicated the alignment of figures from the for the spending to align to the delivery. Now, in December, these were the figures, and we were expected to report. We were sitting as a department at 98,000 units, broken down into 26,000 sites and 72,000 property structures. And the last column obviously indicates a delivery variance of what we could not. And essentially at this point in time, we are expected to be sitting at a delivery of 120,000 units instead of 79, instead of 98. So we are actually short in terms of deliverables. Never the next slide. I'm not sure if you put one for the deliverables. Yeah, so no, that's the general one. I put it to you. No, that's the day that I'm talking about. declared an amount of savings. After we had made a call to say, if they practically look at the spending, they would not be able to spend the 4 billion that they spent.
Can you repeat that?
We indicated to your provinces after the analysis that we had done with the 3.2 billion that I indicated that is still sitting with the province and the amount that is still to be transferred in March amounts to 4 billion and practically they would not spend it. So our proposal and recommendation of yesterday was such that we do not transfer the March. Because it will be seen as 6,000 things. How do you transfer money and let you see that the provinces are not paying? We agreed with provinces. Most of them agreed only yesterday. And only realized yesterday that what we said in November would have actually kept the situation in the process. It's only 8 billion amounts, so we will not transfer the March tranche. The first aid we will transfer, given the fact that they are actually sitting at 77%, although the capacity challenge is in first aid, they indicated and verified that they will actually come up with a different verified figure, because we realize that their figure in terms of deliverables and in terms of the amount, they do not speak to each other. So we wanted them in the process, we are giving them time of a week, go and sort out the issue of the deliverables to align to spend. How then said so in so many ways that they will spend the some invoices that are being signed by the HODs to an amount that are so exorbitant that the amount that still should be transferred one solid fit that let us transfer the money to housing. But we are reluctant at this point in time to check and indeed we will agree to say we are given housing, we will give it housing. We have to make sure that the invoices that the issue we were talking about are available invoices that need to be paid and will be paid and the amount spent will be spent by the date of the month. And those will improve the performance of the house at the end of the day. We agree that we will transfer money to North KwaZulu-Natal. We are comfortable with the pages and because they did indicate the verification of the figure in line with the spending. Limpopo declared as well. They declared an amount of 299 million, so we will not transfer the money to Limpopo. Mpumalanga, the spending is within its reach, we will transfer the last tranche. Northern Cape, we all know that it has the lowest budget, and although there was a bit of a sluggish performance in the financial year, we felt that we should not deprive some of the communities there, and then we will transfer, but there is improvement in the NDE. Also they need more money. So we thought that we should not canalize the residency. But we will monitor the situation throughout in this period up until the 28th of February. Just so that by the time we get to us transferring the March transfer, we are certain that we are not fiscally dumping or we are not still giving money to the people who do not actually need it in that problem. Northwest we will transfer it, the spending is very good. Their figures show a high toll. They actually improved their performance for the past 3 years, so we so comfortable with Northwest. Western Cape, again, they did indicate the challenges with the city of Cape Town, and there's also an element of the evidence that we did with Uganda is also not performing. We will talk to the traffic after the slide, but we did indicate that we will transfer, given the fact that they've also indicated that by yesterday, the expenditure had improved by 200 million. So, within the reach of all these provinces, Eastern Cape will not transfer, Limpopo will not transfer, Elmos, those are the two provinces that we said will not transfer money. And we will monitor the spending throughout and through the program. As I said, before we could even get the March transfer. Next slide, please. This is another challenge that we're facing with our medical system. This is one of the grants that is not being taken seriously by the metropolitan. Why they still see it as a leak and why we had so many interventions in as far as the areas that we program grants for. Some provinces, some metros still do not know where to use the USDG. Another colleague of ours yesterday sound as if they're giving focus to HSBC in contrast to USB. So we agreed to them, we will have a special meeting not later than the end of February for us to be able to focus. However, they still have 5 months to improve on their performance. But the challenge is that if by the 21st of December, and that's 6 months of the implementation of the USBG, they are still sitting at 30%. The chances of the 30% to improve 100% is also a questionable remark. So we will, and we are, and we've indicated to them even yesterday, they were party to our interview. They are quite aware of the seriousness of the monetary mechanism that we're putting in place, in as far as agency is concerned. So they are also affected by the fact that if they are not spending any measures that are related to Division of Revenue Act apply across the board. But we do not want to penalize because this is an issue of the non-service developer and the issue of us not actually providing service to the people who need to service the most. So our aim is to improve service delivery rather than penalizing the institutions who are receiving the money and not spending it. So this is the status of the Evans Assessment of Mugandas estate. However, things never really should be having a USBC. I thought maybe I had those two slides, but it was only yesterday. We couldn't put them through checking within the history of us just announcing additional work without member service actually. But the situation has since improved on the Evans Assessment Development, but not to the required level. So it was better of us calling the technical member special, particularly with all the MM and all the CEOs of the metro. We emphasize yesterday that leadership is very important. We do not want a situation whereby when the DG is present, they only send the leader that cannot even take decisions. So we emphasize the issues of leadership. People will go back and try to apply those skills back to the website. So this is the status of event. It's not looking good. We are putting measures in place to improve that. Next slide, Madam. Chair, as I indicated, the DG will talk to slide. If through your indulgence, I'll hand it over to
different level, municipality level for human rights matters, for the charter. That is a challenge, because not only to planning in particular for this. And what we have done, Jay, if I would also jump into that point in terms of what you are trying to do, we have run a workshop as well last year, a pipeline workshop, which basically was meant to say, because it's a construction sector, how best can we plan our project from short to medium and long term? And we're trying to empower our colleagues at various levels, but targeting mainly the stakeholders of our community, metro, and all provincial departments. And the point we have made was, even if it means that we take two steps backward and replan our projects and to continue business as usual, but never be able to meet our target set because our pipeline is not properly aligned. And that becomes a challenge. I think there are few provinces that have mastered pipeline planning and human development. In particular, within Cape Town, we have a pipeline plan for long-term projects of human development and align that with the city. Unfortunately, the city was saved yesterday. But align that with the implementing agent as well, which is the city or the municipality. And that becomes a very critical. And I think Stroud is also leading in that in terms of pipeline planning. And they were also presented in the pipeline workshop about how they go about doing that. Because embedded into the pipeline planning, though it's a private sector project, but it becomes relevant for construction industry in terms of how it's going to project for implementation. That workshop didn't take place, Jay. It was a response from the department to say, this is how you can do your plans pretty well moving forward so that you can be assured of what you intend to do. We have then, Jay, made some strategic measures, mitigation measures in terms of what could be done after the engagement we had with all professionals and metro agencies. We are going to try and identify medium and long-term programs and project pipelines that we want to identify and make sure we focus on those and avoid this thing of putting business plans with everything and come meet the facing challenges of clearly seeing that we have the budget and the planning of the mainland. And I mean, for the last 2 years that we've been here, we have a thorough plan. And I think even the concept is problematic, the reflection of poor planning. Why should you plan and have a couple of plans? You should plan one, at least adjust your plan because of situations that are beyond your control, which are of natural disasters, emergency, or weather affecting changes and so forth. But under normal circumstances, your plan must be bold enough. And we have an advantage because of the MTEF plan that government has provided for us to plan in advance what you can do in 3 years' time. So we've got to deal with that and we've been doing that. And also, as I've alluded to revisit our code on park infrastructure and see if we can identify other municipalities that can also be beneficiaries for this, not only the metros, particularly in areas where big projects have been identified for implementation and begin to talk to treasury or rather make sure that from our own coffers we budget for that particular engagement, not only to focus on identifying metros. The most important thing is to assist with our NAS program, national level, just forward through the two, in terms of dealing effectively mainly with the eradication of informal settlements or athletes. And that NAS program is meant to also assist with the technical skills that are meant to empower to be able to do. At least the department is now in a position to kickstart that program and provide that technical assistance for assisting the informal assessment. The issue of business plans, we also took a decision yesterday. But we're going to do it differently this time around. In the past, we would proceed business plans, we would question a few things, and then Iceland and Pakistan. But we want to do it differently. This time, we want to receive business plans, make changes, then have a workshop with all provincial departments before Iceland and home, and scrutinize each and every element of the business plan and the financial activity before we sign it off and manage our business plan. We have taken that decision. We have already received the preliminary business plan. We are already interrogating them. We will be calling. If it means that we spend 2 days, 3 days interrogating the business plan that is determining whether we perform well did write for socialist institutions, they were all present, and they are also willing to assist, and they were also form part of that. Also those who are running projects that are half funded in this kind of financial year, their funds can be used within the sector, so that they mentioned the process of the world. They were all present, HDA was present, Shaw was present, Nature was all of them were present yesterday. They know the crisis that we are faced with, and they also provided some input in terms of how best we can improve in this area. And if the funds that have been not declared, they can be used without any challenge, because we are in a very tight corner. We are just about to complete our financial year. We can't start a new project, but it's going to be time that could also with our funds, but that could be in the coming, which are the energy opposed to the department of accounting. So that's what we are trying to do, Chair. And also we'll be pushing, that's the last point. We are pushing that to get our managers to excel our projects, to do effective modeling and evaluating our projects once we have approved. The capacity of the national needs to be sufficient. And that is the unit, Chair, that on one case, this is the terrible implementation and assessment check. Cash flows that have been are doing what they want to spend the same money. That's one area we should be focusing on quite strongly as a department. We are just hoping that the recommended candidate for this area internally will soon be appointed and then can put more effort and put more resources to make sure that this is operating efficiently. I think, Chair, that's part just the summary of how the government is yesterday.
Thank you very much, Richard. Because we did not have the money to do so, as we take the contact place, 15 minutes, that's the time to get 10 months. 15 minutes. By 11 o'clock, we're coming back. That's great. I'm back to you for 15 minutes. By 11 o'clock,
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Yes. just the opposite.
Yeah, I can remove that. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? Let me tell you something. You have no idea about the kind of religious shit that the world is in. Half the trouble because of religion. Now, you know when they elect the Pope, they go into that room and they all wait for the smoke. You know what?
Yeah, the white smoke and the black smoke.
You know, statistics can be then you are able to tell what are the main focus or not focus. But if you just code 5,000 jobs, but you don't remind us about what the target was, then for me, I don't know whether it's good, whether it's focus or not focus. I just have a question, but I don't want to waste the time of the committee. For instance, I think on July 27th, there's such an example where you get a pickup but without what the target was. But then you get a better presentation like the EAAB on July 28th, where it says out of this, this is what, out of that, this is what. So it's easy to compare and to be able to tell whether it's true or not. Secondly, on the point that has been raised by Honorable Solomon, personally, I think I am very busy because when I was reading this express on my own and it did not have, for instance, that slide 48, I kept asking myself, what action is the department taking when, for instance, there is under-expenditure? What action is the department taking where, for instance, there was no expenditure at all? What action, and so on and so forth? But I think from the presentation today, for me, it is very clear that the department has begun to say, if we don't do this, we will do that. And I think this is what you are. You see, yeah. For example, as I say, this is slide 48. And unfortunately, I don't have slide 48 in my document. I would really love to have that slide because it is showing exactly what needs to be done when, for instance, the provinces are not performing the VAT. We have referred to the provinces and their performance for a very long time. But I think time has come now to say, this is, we are not sending you that money in the case if you are not sending. We keep in the Indian case with a lot of programs in the area of housing. One won't go into detail, but we do. But there we have a problem that is not spending. It is the money that we should spend. So why should more money be dumped on the problem if the problem is not spending the money? But at the same time, one is happy to see that the department is taking corrective measures which will help, you know, provinces like the Eastern Cape. We do have programs of capacity in the Eastern Cape with the head. We usually say many of our experts are in the housing and in the Eastern Cape and in the KZN where the balance may leave us. So we say we see this program, but if you see that the measures that are being taken to improve, you know, provinces such as the Eastern Cape, to improve the capacity, then this is what we appreciate. As for the RHI teacher the sanitation program, maybe in 2014 we should ask ourselves the question, should we continue this program as it is, or should we look at another program together? One thing certain is that sanitation that needs to be improved and the people have to leave the toilet, but it is a strange that the diploma can be changed in that program. I don't know what I'm thinking to take up the conclusion, but I find that in the areas where the funding is such that, for instance, the people do things for themselves, like the loan fund, the rural loan fund, for example. I find that it seems that there's more funding there.
This is the third question. I have two questions. You spoke about the issue of job creation, and then you related to the issue of rape. So now we are alone now. I'm cutting off one constituency to say now. Because I said, let's leave the questions for other people. Two questions at a time.
Okay.
I'm coming back.
Let's run. Thank you.
Yeah.
in the presentation, you know, then there's more time to discuss then the link please, but we do go through the report. My first question, Chair, would be, I think the challenge that we have with regard to business plans is, could be the fact that we might be challenged with not having the right skills within our provincial departments. I don't know. It's a question. Because I want to bring it to the point where the DG actually mentioned that with regard to the business plans, because this is where everything starts, the business plans of provinces and of municipalities requesting for money. So they work out their business plans with regard to the needs. And I don't want to maybe mention again after the processes. Now, the DG said, Chairperson, that the department is planning on getting together with the provincial department on the business plan. This might just be a very, very expensive exercise. Because how are you going to communicate? Are you actually going to convene the meeting in that particular province, or is the province going to come to you? It's really going to be an expensive exercise. What I would want to suggest is maybe ask the department whether there isn't other means of dealing with the process. Like, for instance, make sure that National put up very easy guidelines as to how the provinces must put up their business plans. Obviously, all that needs to be in a business plan is what is happening within the province. They can use documents such as the FDF and the IDP and every other document to make sure that whatever they need from human settlements, it is actually within their business plan. So that's my first question. The second question is on page 8, on sanitation, the job creation summary. I would like to know what process the department actually has in place to recruit people in this regard.
First and foremost, I would like to join my colleagues in welcoming the report. But they asked me a few concerns, on the outcome page, the reported performance. It says from April 2010 to September 2012. Only 32% of households provided with access to food. What was the target for 2014? If that is the case that we are going to go of 2 years at 32.9, which means from 2012 to 2014, 31st March 2014, we'll be still having 55.8 million. What was it at? And what is it going to do? Chairperson, you said it's only two. I want to find out about this. There is a flow case of billing case. I would like to know, what is the actual problem? Why is there a flow case of billing case in the department? No. Thank you. I'm going to ask this one. This thank you, Chairperson, and I think you've done this very well today, because all those questions are part of the important and we've all been dealt with. So I'm going to hone in on something else. I want to thank the department also for coming to us and bringing this to our attention. However, I must say that I think we are in serious trouble. And I think I want to hone in on the vacancy question. Because I think that in all that I have heard, and we have been hearing at the workshop that we had, I think we have some weaknesses in your staffing of your department. And I'm not going to isolate where I think that is today, but I do just want to bring that to your attention, that I think that, because if we're not going to get that right, and I hear you talking today about confirming vacancies and positions, and especially I'm talking, you know, at your senior level, you have got to give some serious attention to the sort of qualifications that people have got that come into those positions, and whether they have the management skills that are required. So my question to you is, with the vacancies that are still outstanding, which I think should have been completed almost a year ago, last April I think we were told, that you give very serious consideration to who you are putting into those positions. The other thing is, and this touches on the question of the outstanding, the underspend is big at this stage. Do you in your department have the capacity to follow up and to be able to meet the spend that is still outstanding? Is there the capacity? Not so much with you, but with the province. And I'm hearing that we do have a problem with province. And the question is, what do you discuss in the MinMet and the MinTech? And the, you know, and we seem to be bringing the province together all the time. And whilst I appreciate what you put on the table here now, it comes too late. It comes too late. The query on the HDA and the 7,000, talking now about you know, whether it's suitable for housing or it's not suitable. This 6,200 we've been talking about now, 7,000, it's been on the card since 2009. Why are we only investigating it now? So I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not allowed any more questions. I'm just saying, please, you know, whilst we appreciate what you're doing, I think it comes.
I won't allow any response because three questions. So I don't want to take much time in answering each one question. Let me take the second. Governor Chomba, AD. Comment, come with your question after AD. Mamu Dole. Mamu. Yes?
And the power is failed.
I'm saying, Captain Akoba, the first one, AD, the second one, the woman, Mama Festival. Captain, do you have something to say?
No.
No, it's fine. After, easy, please. And then for the last one.
Same. I won't take more than five.
Yes, what is the staff now? Is she shield that
study the department itself. Now it is a discussion on another aspect, and the department to initiate the process of inclusion and to allow for skills and then students supporting the problem. Whereas your own department, not us, the capacity is not there. We don't start. When we have them, we have the capacity to get to design the provinces and then open the capacity to do the job.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
I just want to add to what Comrade Mashaba was saying on page 8. My worrying factor was also KZN, but because he asked about it, I just want to check about this disabled, because I see the 00. In those areas, or in those provinces, they didn't find the disabled people. And then again, my other question that has been asked is on understanding. As you say, well, but I will hear the response of that one. Again, on page 10, I just want to know about this eight municipalities that are talking about come toward. Which are those municipalities that have identified on the rollout of the program support? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, another part of the cherry. Can I just ask, please, on slide 26, National Home Builders Registration Council. I found this incredible. You've got a target, third quarter target, which is much lower than your third quarter performance. Now, I don't know what this is due to, but I mean, it's way up. It just, if you look at it, you're not talking 10 or 12 or 100 here difference. And I would have thought that, you know, it's difficult to meet targets, but your performance has, and I don't know whether perhaps it got into the wrong column, and it should be the other way around. That's the one thing. The other question I would like to know, in your Gulf and your NHFC, are you able to tell us what sort of interest these people are charging via intermediaries? And because I think that's the way it goes. I just have had an experience where I sent somebody along, one of the MPs, and the interest rates on these are absolutely exorbitant, and I would have thought that both of them are actually catering for people who, and that's why they would have been there, you know, because they can't go to the normal bank situation, and yet the interest rate seems to be much larger.
First of all, I would like to commend Ibumalang for spending 100%. Another thing that I want to find out, there is a copy on that list. I think the producer treasure. Is this money comes from the savings? It's saving in 40 million that has not been spent. So what is it? I did not hear that it is about the 40 million that is there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just want to find out from the department about the contractors that were appointed. We spoke about IDC and Umbula. Who are the other four contractors that have been appointed? That is with regard to the, if I'm correct, was the Yerulu Housing Infrastructure Development on page 34. Thank you.
Yes.
support program. Will them five this include the USDG? Because the NUT and the USDG do the same job. So are you going to use the NUT to beef up the USDG as well? Or is it two separate things? And second thing is the issue of the guarantee fund. This is nowhere if we speak or this province give us an indication of how well are they or doing in terms of the guarantee fund and the flip. And it's a very important program. And I don't see their status. I just see one little column in page 44 which refers to flip, but they don't give us the real what are the challenges when it comes to the implementation of the guarantee fund. And as we recall, Chair, when we were at the oversight in the Niger, I said I think the Niger issue was the gap market that we missed an opportunity to deal with. If we dealt with the Niger issue in a different way, which means that we are not focusing much on the gap market in as far as the Swiss and the guarantee fund is concerned. What is the status in terms of the expenditure or the implementation thereof in the province?
Do you want to thank you, well, one of the reasons that is being put for understanding is that the process of the tendering that's very well they are delayed. I just want to find that process in fact whether really it is not possible to find a solution to such a kind of a problem rather than delay the whole process because we keep on from year to year starting the process delay. Can't we improve? What is the process that we need to the backend improvement in this process? Now, secondly, I'm going to refer to something that has been discussed today before by other members, but it's based on slide 46, the report on slide 46, the USDG again. It's been during, I think it's December holiday, so I've been asking to the daily research about how CCM, Buffalo City Municipality, will understand. And the figure was very useful. Well, naturally, the colors of the rest of them, I don't know whether it was a really CPM, you know, maybe a financial because we all know that even though they have understand, but a problem of how to remain. But now, I'm wondering whether it was fair to criticize CPM like that when I'm looking at slide. I just am interested that a last column warned me because they are not the only ones who have understand 81%. There is a metro that is supposed to really have the capacity it takes in. And there is a metro that is also supposed to have the capacity the city of the
Thank you.
So is there another problem other than capacity? Because as I say, when we analyze Buffalo City, we thought it was because there are new metro, we don't have the capacity. We have so much money, but we don't have the capacity to spend it. But what is the problem between other municipalities who are expecting to have the experience and to have the capacity? We sit with all that money sitting there, 81% of the funds sitting there unused. Whereas, as Mr. Scholar correctly says, the people on the ground are suffering. They need the delivery. They thank you for the
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, Chairperson, I have a proposal, Chairperson, that if we can call up the SOP from both provinces, run an account, because just to ask the national government, sometimes it's not as well, because I think most of the provinces that we are encountering here from the provinces. And the other one, Chair, is the one of capacity. to the municipality has the capacity of sanitation. Why I'm asking this question, Mr. Chairperson, is because you may well learn the sanitation is still under water service. So I don't know what's happening, because we know that the sanitation is supposed to be at cement equipment. But the other will learn the under water. I think Kane knows that. And the other one, Chairperson, the last one, Chairperson, is the friend of provinces, the relationship between the provinces and the municipalities, and the monetary system. And what I want to find out from the national government, the national department, do they have a monetary and evaluation system that they can monitor those municipalities and the provinces?
Okay.
status report. Only when we get to have time, we have done the assistance in the back. I think we'll need more information on that front. And then the other issue I want to comment on, on page 4, it is a great on the job creation summary. I can get that. It says these questions are not complete. What are the changes to these problems? I mean, to be real. It means all of the pages are not working. No. We are not satisfied about this performance. We will depend on what's happening. He has from Munya, he has spent the oversight on the list. When they bring those business plans, they must not accept them if they want the people that are specific. The other issue I want to comment on is on page 7. I think that those links in the MOUs with the energy, water services, it's unacceptable because we want those people to make sure that they provide capacity to the community. What is one thing this project is supposed to meant to offer for the community to participate. So if you can try and fast track that process, and we have to push. Then we need the list of municipalities that have been accredited. We have accredited at least 23. So we need the list so that we can make our follow-up on those municipalities. Then the other area of concern is on the page 13B, that's the EEP provinces, which are not yet in compliance. I don't know. What I was going to say. Can you get a list of those problems? I am saying that. You have taken us to confidence last year during the budget that all the problems were committed to and all they are put. So if there's still problems that are not committed to that, we really need those problems. Because we have taken a decision to say no more rectification as from projects that are implemented during the 2012-18 onwards. And we are serious on that one, really. If there are provinces that are not complying to that, I think something must be done. Something must be done to those individuals. And we are going to recommend to the new parliament. We won't accept any rectification because the rectification is we have been complaining that it derails the progress of the river. So we need those provinces. The other area, you know, I don't know if you know this issue of departments not respecting each other because you are all in government and you have got one common objective. Departments are supposed to implement services. If you don't cooperate with each other, I don't like that is happening with us in terms of labor. This 11 million, I think this is the third for the fourth year. And it has an impact, a negative impact, in terms of staffing. You are not feeling vacancies. You are going to fill those vacancies. Where are those people going to be accommodated if you don't have accommodation? So each and every time you come before the portfolio committee, you will tell us that we don't have accommodation for staff. So for me, I don't know, members, we need to deliberate on this one.
Yeah.
Let's deliberate on this one and then we come up with a strong, concrete recommendation. is like one who is to that man. If it means that it goes to the leader of government, it can be, let's take it. The deputy president will put the right as opposed to the committee. Because if departments are not cooperating with each other, it gives us a project. So he oversight I love meaning on that basis. Because this 11 million, it's in fact not even 11 million. How much is it? It's 13.
Not small.
That's 2.5 for furniture. Because when you purchase that furniture, where are you going to put it? If you don't have space, office space. Now, I'm tired of listening to this one. I think the popular committee is tired of listening to this issue of accommodation. We don't have, because the money is there. Treasury has provided funds for office accommodation, but the departments are not cooperating with each other so that we achieve what is required. This is a serious concern we are taking as the popular community. The other issue I think we need to look at it is the issue of theater. Yes, you have made strides. We appreciate that. We have made some strides. I think we need to communicate with the public service and administration for the commission this one. We need to do that. So, Secretary, you are listening. When you get out here, you go to managers to prepare something that we are going to read a letter to the public service, administration. An administration portfolio committee, so that we meet, even if it's a 2 members or 3 members, we meet on this one. We can. I think it also includes the issue of
justice.
Yeah. I think it's one of the issues that we need to take seriously. Otherwise, at least each department, you should suffer for your things that are directly. It's difficult now, at least you suffer from the issues that are not addressed by the other department. So it doesn't treat us very well. And then the other issue, this man that you also referring that you are going to transfer to SRA. As much as I appreciate that I've got a problem, meaning that it's a sort of fiscal damage to SRA. I'm not sure how lazy are they. Do they have the capacity to draw in this money? Can they utilize this money to the end? Because why I'm raising that, the Eastern Cape, Nelson Mandela and the Buffalo City, they've got a challenge. They don't have the social housing arrangement. Yet, the big metro and the Navasere Zarani is the form of Latina communication. But seemingly, too much of a chance of career. They're not taking it seriously. So I'm having a problem with my father being off the money in the social housing in Bonn United, which is one of the every three times about who spend that money. The other issue, when I insisted, and you believe it, but unspent, like 42, maybe 25%, then it's a power escalating over September. September, let me say about Sundana Marina. What I did is in Barakun, but now so they manage to spend a 25%. Now I wouldn't recommend losing money in my daughter's in the money. And since that time, you go there and verify. I wouldn't recommend losing money in my daughter. Go there and recommend and verify everything, and then we take it to the paper. And then the other issue, how much is this? 7. Is this 7 million? $7,000. But they actually spent $600,000. We have been complaining about the credibility of the ICT. And the National Department committed itself to provide support to those children, which means we have allocated some funds. But ever, I don't know whether the province has allocated this fund. But at the end of the day, the utilization of those funds, yeah, half a year, they are like 42. Only 9% that has been. So how are we going to achieve the I wanted to say this issue. Yes, we understand this means to have called Mandeli and yes, they appreciate what you are doing, but at the same time, and I'm not moved to make an problem now. Who was the then the from the province? Because seemingly, the issue of disasters, I'm not saying that there's no mention of disaster funds. And we are aware that there was that money that was transferred to the provinces, and there was a rollover. I'm not sure whether you receive the role of that, because those funds were not utilized by the end of 2011 financial year. So I'm not sure whether you receive the role of that, and then what is the status of those funds now? Now the reason they are being over, even yesterday, the very solar landscape case again. So we don't know what is happening. I have already mentioned about the first aid, the backlog, and so on and so on. The HSS, it's a problem. I remember in the previous term, the portfolio committee was campaigning, advocating that the department needs to have a HSS. Now you say you are having an HSS. The provinces are not using the HSS. So, I don't know. And we've got a problem of verification. Even these beneficiary manipulation, it happens because you don't have this system. I mean, you don't have enough access to the whole system. There's got a different system that you are utilizing. So I don't know how can that thing be addressed. Because seemingly, clients are deliberate. It's done deliberately for me. I have no access to information in the province. I don't know. That is which you are not just analyzing. The issue of bugs, I'm generally taking up with bugs. Because the bugs were already resolved in the library, which USDC is there. And I'm a problem because I think this portfolio committee has been telling the services to say if the bug infrastructure, you rather prioritize bulk infrastructure, even if you got money for some years have been allocated, it's facilities. Bulk infrastructure is very crucial. That is why we are saying when you are planning a project, you cannot plan a project today and then you think you're going to implement the project. That is why we requested that the department should adopt the Australian you facilitate in the first, second, and third year, you facilitate the project, the development of projects. After you train Abans Balo area, you involve the university, FET, so that even the people of that area should get jobs. So I'm trying to say, you facilitate both the development, you bring everything to that community of Alfredo. Make sure that the people of Alfredo are going to benefit from jobs and so on. At the same time, they're getting the training so that after that process, they can get out. So I think, but we're not practicing that. So the Kumalanga issue. I am not sure about the K 125. We are kind of another by spending. That's my by spending. I spend a needy. I spend a needy. And then you are convincing that that money has been spent on what? We are not convinced who that money has been spent. It has been spent on what? So, even with Mpumalanga, I'm skeptical to say you release that money. Until that time, your team goes there and verifies. It's been very annually money. We can't just let money to be spent, you know? So, we need to have the information of what has been spent. Then the last issue, the business plan, do they bring the operational plan through? That's the problem. Operational plans, you need to demand. Sometimes for learning about today, you demand the their operational plans, because the operational plans speak to their business. Then for this business plan, how are they going to make sure that this business plan is implemented? Operational plan, I think it's very much crucial. And now I would encourage you to continue with the strategy that you have applied. Because now I don't think it's so expensive to me. Because they are going to bring this. They have already submitted the preliminary. Then you are going to look at those preliminaries. And then there's this teleconference. You communicate with them even on a daily basis to discuss those issues. Until that time, you are happy and then you bring those to us, to Parliament. So I think you must stretch yourself now. Because it's not going to work. If you don't overstretch yourself now. 24-hour stretch. Otherwise, we really appreciate the presentation because you have been so honest to us. That's what we want. Our role is to get to be informed, and then we advise you appropriately, and then we advise even the executive authority. Even the other executive authorities have has advised that that's common. The problem is because the popular community. That is our responsibility. That is our mandate. They must come and come. If our responsibility, they must come before us. Must be penitentiary, they don't send the also because of the things that are happening. I don't think you're going to be able to respond to our question. Just comment and then respond to the question.
Chair, we appreciate the comments made by members as well as the questions that have been raised. I'm sure there are a few that maybe we may respond to, but most of it
more of a back course. For us to take home bakery. I'm playing my BPM cards that I
bought.
So that we improve on that. But also because there are already processes we have put in place to give more substance to those processes, taking cognizance of the comments and advice that you are getting from the members, which is something that we always appreciate. One issue that maybe one should pass through is the issue of vacancies, because it's a very important aspect of delivery, and it also talks to capacity, and capacity of government to deliver remains a very strategic area of focus, which also ensures delivery on the ground. To date, I think I've made a commitment to the portfolio committee that all vacancies would be advertised in the field, and our target was, and I was mainly referring to funded posts, was the end of the financial year. Our percentages to date in terms of the field vacant posts, 68%. 28% has been advertised, and interviews have taken place, appointments are happening. So if I don't meet the target by the end of the financial year, maybe 20% or 15% of that. But we're doing that for two reasons. One is an instruction from government. But two, it will have capacity that we so require at national level as well. And the specific question, Chair, was, do we have the sufficient capacity of the national department to deliver on our mandate in terms of the capacity that we have? The answer is yes and no. Let me deal with the yes part. The yes part, that's why we are here. So we still have time to prepare, to do research. We still have time to engage with provinces, call them to workshops and accounts. So in certain areas, yes, we still have capacity. But in some areas, we don't have the required capacity, particularly in relation to the more demanding mandate that we have given ourselves. Also taking your comments you have made to beef up certain areas. One key area which we don't have capacity, which is for me a thorny area today, is the area of project management. Without any effort to get that, anything we say, anything we commit may not be realized. And as I've said, Chair, we went through a process of advertising for executives, and as I'm sure you heard when Celestia was introducing herself before I arrived here, that she's a chief operation officer. So she has taken over the post that used to be handled by Neville, and Neville is now the executive PDG strategy and planning, which forms part of the new structure. Chief of Operations is now Senator Congo, which applied, she used to be the CD in the department, so she's our new executive PDG. And I'm very grateful that we are picking up a gender balance as well, but also competency, it's not compromised. Those two posts were advertised simultaneously. And the process of interviewing and putting a panel was done simultaneously. And recommendations as well were done simultaneously. But there were technical problems with the other DDG for PMU, which is equally a critical area of operation for the national department, but as well as to play a very important role to put capacity there that must also monitor, evaluate, on weekly, monthly basis, the work that is being done by different provinces. That post remains vacant. That branch remains unoccupied, with Mr. Wallace acting on it. We have identified a very highly suitable and capable individual, but we are finalizing other technical details that DPSA has requested more information on that process. So those are the always issues that are beyond our control. So, and the issues of compliance, the time to do verification of qualification, and so forth, and that takes time, the time to do issues of security clearance, and so forth, they take longer. And it applies to other individuals, it doesn't apply to other individuals, then it's right. And also at the CB level, we are still waiting to confirm three very important positions. One is Chief Investment Officer under Finance, and the most important one, again, for capacity. We don't have a fully charged program manager for sanitation. As you know, Chauge was just acting, trying to assist in the area. That post is still vacant as well. Remind me, which is the third one?
HR, Human Resources.
HR as well. As you know, I'm not sure I did inform you, I was very capable, Yvonne, man, resigned on HRCD, and we had the lady acting, Michelle Sneyman, who is currently acting in the position. That post was advertised as well. Hopefully it should be filled because we have done everything to it. All that we are waiting for is to conclude the verification of qualification. She's in the system and then she's appointed to the post. And also operational framework, chief director, all work has been done. So those are key posts at an executive level. We should give up the capacity of the Department of National Level to be able to perform its mandate. But all of that is in the system, processes are in the system, it's a matter of confirmation. That's why I'm comfortable that by the end of March, before the beginning of the next financial year, at least with the new turnaround structure and the new structure, I would say 90% of the funded vacant posts will be filled, or people who are appointed with the serving notices in their respective organizations to start with us. I'm looking forward to a better year. And I took the advantage of Cabinet Lehota last week to talk to the minister about the challenge I'm having of not filling the vacancy, so the matter to Cabinet. I've written officially to my counterpart, the PG of the PSA, emphasizing the importance of expediting. So I'm definitely sure that we are not sitting with a gloomy picture at a national level to do that. But our capacity is as good as the capacity of the provincial department. Because if their own capacities, particularly at the project management level, is not built up, we are going to be in a fixed continuity. And when we invite HODs, which is a recommendation I fully support, Chair, as we have also endorsed it, please test that. We have given a specific instruction at technical min-make to beef up at least one key area, project management operation. Because when we do monitoring nationally, we need a strategic alignment with other project offices in all provinces. Without that capacity in their respective provincial departments, our work might be proven to be difficult. Even if we want to do random checks of the business plans of projects, verification processes, you need those systems in place at provincial level as well. So as municipalities that you are directly doing business with. So I think that capacity is critical, and we are putting our efforts, because at the same time, we don't want to try and do everything else and achieve nothing. But target areas that you know, if you zoom in those areas and you zoom well and you succeed, you'll change the whole picture of delivery on the ground. Like verification, we shouldn't be worried. We are also worried. We took that decision yesterday with my team. We accept your financial performance, but we are going to come to you and verify what this man has done. We made it very clear. Both Free State and Mpumalanga, they know. We told them, in fact, they possess to go and verify, as I've said earlier on, service delivery versus financial performance that we are seeing in the screen, and if not on the ground, then tell us what have you used the money for. So without that, but once we have a very effective project management system, you don't even have to do that. The system should tell you, all you do, you are doing quality assurance of the products delivered, but the system would have told you any. So at least we are in the same wavelength of understanding how I want to deal with that. I felt I should touch on that particular aspect because I think most members have raised it. I will take that, say there might be some specific technical issues that come from presentation that my executives may want to deal with, but I felt I should deal just with this aspect, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just to indicate, on the issue of the, I mean, I think the DGs cover this, the business plans, and I think we reflect what you asked us to do. So, I mean, we can trace from last year, from the time that we had the business plans, all the engagements, we've put in place templates, we've had training sessions, we've had workshops. I cannot even count. I mean, Mr. Aron says, yeah, we've had workshops. We've had a planning workshop around the business plan. And they have not yielded the positive results. I think that's the net effect. With the effect that the DG has indicated to us that if he doesn't get what he wants, he will not sign off those. I mean, that's what he told us, and we've done that. I think the difficulty that one faces is that you know, you're dealing with communities here, you're not dealing with the provinces. And I think that's the kind of thing that... So when we deal with it, we've just got to be sensitive that it's not about punishing a province or a municipality, but it's what the end result of what we do results in. We've raised the issue around, and I think it has been raised, around the question of the technical capacity, so the USDG. And yes, there are major issues that we've highlighted, and I think we are coming back to you around that. Yes, Buffalo City is not the only metro that is in a poor space, but I think the one thing that the DG forgot to say is that he has to contend with the fact as we sit here that there are 5 acting HODs in provinces. There are 3 acting HODs for human settlements in the metros. Swane, Ekurhuleni one has just resigned, Itequini, Nelson Mandela, in fact 4. So the pressure that the accounting office at the national department is, and I think we all know the consequences of having someone that acts. It leads to a whole range of kind of inertia and indecisiveness. So you know, the point is, I'm not speaking on behalf of the DG, but how far? I mean, when the DG cracks the whip, who takes the hit? So I mean, if you count it, out of 15 that are there, this was 9 that are acting. You know, so those are consequences of the technical capacity. So I think the one issue that you need to understand is the kind of relationship that we have. So, you know, that competency and that kind of maturity that we have to be able to... We can break the system. But is that what we want to do? I'm not sure if that's what we are to do. We are to build... And I think it's a serious reflection which the DG has indicated. We need to have a strat session and put that up on the table around that. Chair, the linkages between the USDG and NUS, yes, there's an inherent relationship. The point of that exercise is that if municipalities and provinces are not focusing on informal settlements, and we upscale NUS, does it make sense? Because, you know, we put in this huge effort into informal settlements in terms of our NUS, but the provinces and the municipalities are not paying the sufficient attention. It doesn't make sense. So that's why we've been forcing them through this process to focus on that. The funding for the FLISP and the inconsistencies, I think you've highlighted that, and it's something that yesterday that was highlighted. This is something that the President raised. He has made it his commitment. Yet provinces are failing to adhere to that. I mean, the flips. Remember, I think that President Zuma made the point in last year's about Mr. Tali, it was Mr. Mali. And it's going to come up again this year. But Chair, not out of us not having done certain things. We've put in place the policy, we've revised it, the DG's designated the NHFC, he has regular meetings with them, we've assisted them, we've written letters, those are all on record that we've done. I think the points that you've raised around some of the issues around the MOUs, the Boysons family, the NHBRC, we'll cover that. Judge, I'm just... those are just the points that I'm not sure to say first.
Thank you, DG Chair. Chair, let me start with the acknowledging the fact that we have given the committee limited information and most of it came out of our head. And we apologize to that. However, we will provide a full detailed report later. In any case, what I would normally do, I would present the secretary with that kind of a report and I would give the report to Kenna. And I think it's for the next, we will provide a report with all the members will have privy to it. Would like to apologize on that one. And I think on the issue of beefing up the report, we will also provide the details of the disaster relief, because the reason why we put that slide on the Adam financial, we insisted from provinces to say, provide us with all the details of where the money has gone to. Yes. And this is how we got to receive that information as a separate from where they would say to spend money on sites and services. And when you want to tally, it doesn't tally at all. For hence, and we pick up in that much over those anomalies to say, you've got a budget of this time, but you only spend the 1% of it. So those are the issues that we have raised with provinces, but appreciating the fact that provinces will be called, so they'll be in the best position to respond to the critical questions that the portfolio has raised. And just to put a comfort on the issue of the 4 billion versus the 3 billion that I've mentioned, and I know that the amount have a way of telling themselves out. At the end of January, there was a 1.2 billion that was not spent by provinces. That's one. With the transfer that has taken place in February, it amounted to 3.2 billion. Now, the last tranche which we are debating as to whether to transfer it, it will amount to 4 billion not spent. So we're trying to curb the underspending at the end of the year or the non-spending by provinces to reach the 4 billion. Hence, we are debating whether to transfer the last tranche and not to transfer it. However, we take the note to say we will have to look at Mpumalanga, Free State, Chairperson, those comments are welcome. But that is just to also put a comfort to you to say, I did indicate that if we find ourselves transferring, it will be irresponsible and it will be a fiscal dumping when we transfer those much, having looked at this situation and given the fact that they are not spending the money. So we are cautious of that effect. And we know the net effect at the end of the day, which will be like underspending money, money sitting in provinces, provinces are not spending. But notwithstanding the fact that the DVG had indicated to say we need to be sensitive, because the money is not about the problem, it's about the poorest of the poor whom we are serving. So we know to that. The last one of which I think we need to take note of is the fact that the six contractors that we have additionally appointed, they are six in number, they add up to the two, which is Mbola Trust and IDT. So I don't have the names as in my head, but we can provide that in the report, that we shall be providing through the Director General. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to respond to two questions that we spoke in. Firstly is the one which relates to the high interest rate to the end users. Yes, in particular. it talks to the nature of the business, that these are unsecured loans. So the micro loan lenders, they are allowed to charge high interest rates. We are also, as a department, concerned because of the impact that it has to the end users. What we can say right now is that we are in discussions with RAF to enable them to ensure that whatever interest rate they charge to their intermediaries is also passed on, the benefit is passed on to the end user. But also having said that, we must also be cautious that there are other methods that are taken into consideration when one is applying for the loan. There are risks attached which also results into the high interest rates up to the maximum that the individuals are charged. And the second part, excuse me, is in relation with the statistics in terms of the asset agency industry. We all acknowledge that the industry is so much untransformed. The statistics, we do have them. We will circulate them to the members of the portfolio committee. The target that was set by the Asset Agency Affairs Board was 30% per province. We've got the data here per province. What we can say is that all the provinces have underperformed. So we are working on the strategy on how best we can address the situation. There are engagements which have already started with the provinces, because as we know, the EAAB, while it was under the DTI, it's not known. It's within the human settlement aspect. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I think you were upset. I wish to thank the department for the information that has been presented, because I think the issue of testing patients business we appeal to. We need a, whether it's a half day, whether it's an evening, not in a formal meeting. To bring something better, but need also transformed now, the capital. So this is what I'm going to do. So that even we are all in the past. Because every answer is other members of the system, we lack information. So we need more information so that we are able to do this. So, members, okay.
Just before you finish this particular session, I want to also just appeal, when we had the launch of things like, for example, Cornelia, there were those of us that are sitting in the province that really would be nice if we knew about what was happening there. And I think there was a bit of a damp squib, that thing that they had there. I don't quite know what it was, because I only picked it up from the newspaper. But, you know, as a portfolio committee, we are interested in what is happening there. And it would be nice if some members from the committee were seen at some of these things when the minister goes.
So, thank you very much. I think it's a good point. Members, that was a very, very fruitful meeting. I wish to thank you for that. Because we should just continue like this. We keep time. thank you very much for the meeting. What is this now? Oh, I'm going to say, you're fresh. This one is just like a box to remind you, remember, of the next week. It's the Human Rights Commission Public Protector. You are invited.
Thank you. You open. I see. Eh? What are we doing again?
Hello, Peter.
Hey,
how are you?
Good.